Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, March 10th, 2022. And it's a pleasure to have you here today or whenever you're listening. We know a lot of people listen on the archives, and we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Home website of Equity and Access, our online journal. You can see the cover over there. Just click on it. Read in a wonderful magazine. All of our articles are up on site. Well, a lot of extra articles up on site. And all of our podcasts are over there, plus a link to our seltoday.org website, all about social-emotional learning. And we're going to talk about social-emotional learning today with my guest, Dr. Howie Knopf. I almost did it, Howie. Howie Knopf at K is silent, president of Project Achieve. You'd think after all these shows, I'd know that, but I can always make the same mistake. Okay, Howie's president, as they say, Project Achieve. And Howie, before we begin, I want you to talk about this online 15-session course you have for everybody over at projectachieve.info. Hi, Howie.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Well, the course is
talk
actually...
Talk about this course. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Talk about this course you have online.
Yeah. Yeah, the course is actually kind of an outline of what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, good.
It is a systematic step-by-step course on how to guide schools, staff, and students to doing effective social-emotional learning or positive behavioral support systems.
Wonderful.
So it starts from how do you make a decision and put your team together, how do you make the decisions relative to social skills curricula, how do you make sure that you're following the science and realize it's not just about the social skills, but it's also about the climate of the school and motivating kids and holding kids accountable and providing the multi-tiered services for the kids that have social, emotional, and behavioral challenges. And then there are six actual modules in the course that are social skill lessons where I'm demonstrating how to teach a social
cool.
skill from kindergarten all the way up through sixth grade, and just a multiple number of different skills. So I'm actually doing a kindergarten training class with real kids, and you know, kids that I've never met before, but you know, grade one, two,
fun.
All the way up to six, and dealing with how to teach kids emotional self-regulation in the context of dealing with teasing, dealing with accusations, yeah. dealing with anger. So it's a pretty self-contained course and guides people. And then I'm always available online or live
yes,
to do the PLCs or to do the kind of nitty-gritty step-by-step implementation and get people to getting some SEL success with student-based outcomes.
And Lord knows we need it. Howie, is there a cost for the course, just so people
yes.
know?
There is a cost
okay.
for the course. So people can either buy it individually or they can buy a site license for everyone, for example, in their
oh, cool.
school.
Yeah.
yeah, and, you know, we've kept it reasonable. I mean, we've kept it, under $500 for the individual, under $1,000. And if you think of it this way, if you were going to a training – you know, and there's 15 hours of contact presentation in the course. There's readings, there are quizzes, there's, you know, CEU attendance. But if you were going to a conference, you'd basically be spending the same amount of money. Or if you were bringing somebody in, you'd be spending a lot more money if you were a school bringing in an outside speaker.
Oh, you'd be spending $10,000, yeah, without question.
Oh, yeah. But
yeah.
the critical point is that people, they own the course. Once they have it, it's online,
oh,
on
that
demand.
Is good. That's excellent.
Yeah, they own it in perpetuity. And if I make any adjustments to the course or do any additions, that all comes free.
That's excellent to know. And it's projectachieve.info. And
correct.
Howie's the best. Howie's the best. Okay? Dr. Howie Knopf. He is the best. Okay? Been on so many times, you just love having you here and all the articles you've written, et cetera, for all the stuff we do. You wanted me to talk about, and we're going to get into this today, social skills, all right, as an exemplar for success in social emotional learning. And Howie, I have a question which is going to seem so silly. You talk about social skills. What are you talking about? Do you mean manners? What are you talking about when you say social skills?
Well, I'm kind of a behavioral person. I want to see it. I want to make sure that we're getting the student outcomes. So I want to make sure that we're teaching kids at the appropriate development level, which means that, you know, social skills and an SEL program is preschool through high school. I want to make sure that kids can demonstrate, that kids can demonstrate that they're able to be aware of, but more important, be in emotional control, that they can demonstrate self-control, that they can think clearly. Because a lot of times our kids are in control, but they're thinking about bad choices. And then why are we surprised? Then they make bad choices. So it's about emotional control, thinking or attributional control, and then behavioral control. But we want to see it. We want to see the outcomes. If you're teaching reading skills, you want to see the student read, that is decode, understand the vocabulary, and then understand the passage. If we're teaching math skills, we want to make sure that we're teaching the kids so that they can do the calculations and solve problems. So if we're going to have an SEL program, awareness is great, but awareness does not necessarily translate into behavior. We've got to have the outcomes. We've got to see the kids being able to do it independently under conditions of emotionality. Because if they don't have those skills, then they're not going to be able to deal with things like dealing with teasing or accusations or being left out. And they're certainly not going to be able to deal with some of the stresses in their lives to be able to execute appropriate behavior, even in the face of stress or anxiety or fear.
How do you see or measure, if I may, whichever way you want to use it or both, how do you see or measure the outcomes in social-emotional learning?
Well, there's a number of ways to do it. I mean, certainly you can do simulations with kids. You can do surveys. You can look at your data, for example, office discipline referrals or classroom engagement.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's watching the kids under conditions where they've got to demonstrate their skills. I mean, how does a basketball coach get evaluated? They get evaluated based on what the team does on the court. I mean, it's not
right.
All wins and losses, okay? But their coaching is reflected in the team being able to execute the playbook, and especially the playbook, March Madness, under conditions of emotionality.
Right.
Okay? How do you evaluate a theater director, okay? Or, you know, when you go to Broadway, how do you evaluate the theater group? Based on the performance. They've got to do it. And so at some point, you know, you've got to practice, but at some point you've got to have opening night and then say, all right, did you see what you wanted to see? Did the performance move you?
But my other question is, when you go with a professional basketball coach, to use your analogy, okay, that person knows basketball backwards and forwards, I hope. All right, except for the lousy losing teams. All right? But when you're an educator, you haven't been, and this is why what you do to me is so important, you haven't been well-trained in social-emotional learning.
Right.
All right? And that's a challenge. We're asking people to measure outcomes on something they're in fact learning with the kids. I hate to say it that way because teachers are trying. But the fact of the matter is that – do teachers even know how to measure this? Okay?
Well,
they may know how to teach it, but how do they measure it? I'm just curious. I'm just asking you, for a group that really doesn't understand what, and I don't mean to be derogatory towards educators. Please don't misunderstand that. Okay? But this is something new we're putting on their plate, really, with such a great effort these days. Okay? How do you help them evaluate it, Howie?
All right. So
that's a better
let's
way.
Talk about,
how do you help
yeah, let's
them?
Drill,
you.
Let's drill down from your previous question, all right, because not all social skill programs do this, okay? I will tell you, I mean, you know, full disclosure, and you know this, Larry, okay? I've got one of the top social skill programs in the market, the Stop and
I
Think
bet
Social
you do.
Skills Program.
I have no doubt.
All right. I'm not here to sell that program.
Don't worry
I want
about
people
that.
To consider it.
Just
but,
talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, so what are the skills that we're teaching? Listening, following directions, asking for help, ignoring distractions, responding to teasing, accepting consequences, beginning and ending a conversation, dealing with anger. Okay, we're teaching behaviors. We're teaching interpersonal conflict prevention and resolution skills. So how does a teacher measure it? Teachers measure kids' behavior every day, every minute and second that they're in the classroom. Are the kids listening? Are they following directions the first time? Are they asking for help, or are they blurting out to the teacher, "Teacher, I need help"? I mean, yesterday I was, the past 3 days, I'm in schools all the time. Okay, I was doing social skill lessons, but I was observing in a kindergarten. Great kindergarten teacher, because she was teaching and prompting the behavior. So how do we teach teachers to evaluate it? They're already evaluating it. But how do we teach teachers to teach social skills? You're right. You've got to train it. You've got to have somebody come in and do the training. I mean, here's the parallel, right? We've got an education right now, once again, okay, that we're not teaching reading in a scientifically effective way, okay? Well, how do you teach teachers how to teach reading? How do you teach teachers how to teach math? Okay, well, you go to university, you hopefully get some supervision, you get the follow-up professional development. Every once in a while, you get a brand new reading or math curriculum. So you go through the training process. So this is not about the 3 R's anymore. It's about the 4 R's. It's about reading, writing, arithmetic, and teaching kids how to be self-responsible and self-accountable.
Oh, there you go. Responsible, right?
Yes.
R. Which is a better R than arithmetic, by the way, which starts with an A, but we won't get it. You caught that. You know that.
But,
I always tell people,
remember
the 3 R's, only one of them begins with an R. So
that's right.
Yeah, you got to be careful
with
that.
But if we're going to commit to SEL, let's do it the right way so that we get demonstrable student outcomes. Because right now, schools across the country are investing hundreds of hours in doing things that may increase kids' awareness, but it is not improving their skills.
This is something we really have to be very careful about. Okay, and we throw it away. I'm a huge fan of SEL. SEL Day, by the way, is coming tomorrow. I don't know if you know that. You know that, Allie?
There
SEL
you go.
Day
yep.
is tomorrow, March 11th. Okay, check that all out, everybody. All right, and it's a beautiful thing where all these companies, all these teachers, all these educators get together. We're asking people to do a lot. But when we say SEL, it tends to stand separately. All right.
Right.
We want to teach kids SEL. I've got an SEL curriculum, all that sort of thing. But you mentioned it a few minutes ago when you're right. Teachers do this every day. And that's called classroom management. And classroom management relates, they run together, okay, like bread and butter, okay, SEL and classroom management. All right. And talk to me about that. Put the two things together for everybody so they understand that, oh, I don't want to teach SEL, I don't know anything about it. But you do know about it. You've got the basics, Mr. or Mrs. Teacher. Okay? Now let's get into the nitty-gritty of it. Let's get down deep into it. Talk about the relationship between SEL and classroom management. Howie.
It's very simple. If kids at the appropriate developmental level, okay, so kindergarten kids are going to look a little bit different developmentally than in third grade, than in seventh grade, and so on.
I hope.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not going to give a 12th grade textbook to a kindergartner and ask him to read. So, I mean, developmentally, they're just not at that point.
Smart move. Yeah.
All right. But if kids don't have social skills, if they don't have social skills, if they don't have emotional control skills, if they're not thinking about making good choices, if they don't have the behaviors to do it, if they don't have self-management skills, then the teacher is going to struggle with classroom management. It's interdependent. We're not managing kids. That's not the goal. Okay, you have to do a certain amount of management to get to self-management. If we're never teaching the kids the self-management skills, then we're never going to get to what we need. We want kids to be able to do things independently. If we don't teach them the reading skills, they don't become independent readers. If we don't teach them the social skills, and so, you know, if we want to talk about classroom management, part of classroom management is about setting up the climate and making it as positive as possible, but teaching the kids to be able to manage themselves, but also be responsive to the teacher. But then the other factor is we've got to teach kids to be able to interact with other kids. And so there's a peer dimension here. So those interpersonal skills become important also. The social problem solving. You know, kids as they get into second and third grade, you know, same thing with reading, okay? Second and third grade or third grade and fourth grade, kids are able to understand higher order thinking constructs. Well, it's the same thing in terms of social problem solving. How they interpret their world as second graders is different than as fourth and fifth graders. When they're up in fourth and fifth grade, we can talk to them about social problem solving so that they can understand, they can analyze, they can interpret the social situations. So, you know, some kids, even as simplistic as this, Larry, okay, I ask kids when I'm teaching them dealing with teasing, or I have my teachers ask them, what's the difference between a joke and a tease? Because that's a critical differentiation. And the kids
up in
third, fourth, and fifth grade, they can start understanding it. And what they have to understand is that even though I was joking with you, you interpreted it, my best friend, as a tease and got your feelings hurt.
That's
so
right. You called me a doo-doo head, and that's not good. You called me a doo-doo head. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We have to teach kids articulation inflection, you know, the inflection of a voice, you know, again, relative to teasing and joking. Okay. Do they discriminate sarcasm versus how many fights occur in a middle school because one kid was being sarcastic and the other kid took them at the surface level message? Nonverbal cues. We think that kids understand nonverbal cues and are interpreting them correctly, but no, not so much. Okay, we can't assume that they know. We have to ask them. We have to teach them. Nonverbal cues are critical in social problem solving.
I mean, what you're saying is absolutely correct. You were just now talking and kept using the kindergarten, third, fourth, fifth example.
Right.
And what always everybody knows about SEL for quite a while now, but there are kids who are now 12 years into their school, 11, 12 years into their school, a junior or a senior in high school.
Right.
And all of a sudden the district is putting SEL in front of these kids. All right? My question is, what are we going to teach them in 12th grade? Everybody I talk to in SEL always brings out elementary school or pre-K or whatever, okay, and middle school at the end result. Are we too late to do an SEL program for kids in high school if they haven't had it before?
You've got to start somewhere. I mean, some of our high school graduates, their SEL program is when they go to the university or the community college or into their first job. And so, yeah, they're walking in with certain social skills and conflict prevention and resolution skills, but sometimes what happens is they crash and burn because we haven't taught them the skills. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You ask any employer, okay, which would they rather have? Somebody that has good social skills or someone who has all the technical skills to do my job?
Social. I can tell you right now it's social. Right
now. Of course.
Now.
If they've got a good person who's open to growth and learning and has good social skills, they can train those people.
Oh, I'm all in favor of SEL. My concern, obviously I'm all in favor. We have SELtoday.org. We have our little magazine, SEL Today Digest. But, and that's up on site, by the way, everybody over there. But my point is, what worries me is coming on too late. Like if a school district is starting an SEL program and I'm a senior in high school or in 11th grade, okay, how's that going to work out for me? You know? And I agree
Larry,
with you. We got to start somewhere. But it's tough, man. It's tough.
Right. You do the best that you can.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Larry, okay, back in our day, we didn't have computers.
Yeah,
okay.
We didn't have anything.
So what happened to the kids in 11th and 12th grade when all of a sudden the first Apple IIe was in production and available? Okay, so it's a progressive process, and you know, sometimes you can't go backwards, but you have to go backwards to go forward. So you've got to start somewhere. But the thing is, a lot of schools, even without the formal SEL, are doing, especially at the secondary level, the things that they need to do to kind of grease the skid. They're talking about social situations, about current events. They're talking about, you know, within the classroom. They're putting the kids in project-based groups and hopefully teaching them how to get along in the project-based group to be able to, you know, to be successful on the academic side. But what we're trying to do right now is go to the next level of excellence. We're saying, all right.
I like that. If
we know we have to teach a preschool through high school, well, let's do the preparation. Let's do the due diligence. So, for example, and I'm not being facetious here, every district in this country.
I know the difference between joking and teasing. I know you're not supposed
there you
to
go.
Be.
That's because
go
I
ahead,
taught Howie. You. Every district in this country has got a preschool through high school literacy curriculum, scope and sequence.
Sure do.
Math,
yep.
Science, social studies, history, civics, and so on. We've got to get our districts. Our districts have to sit down and plan out the scope and sequence, preschool through high school, for their SEL program. And it's not just about the social skills. It's also about getting the kids into groups and asking them to deal with ethical dilemmas, you know, having them, you know, and again, some of this is woven into the history and the social studies curricula. And in some states, the social skills is actually in the social studies standards for the state. Okay, but if we're going to say it's important, and we are, Education Week, not even two weeks ago, you know, they published a study that they had done within, you know, the Education Week research group, how everyone's saying the kids need the social skills, the kids need the social-emotional
Absolutely.
Learning skills. And we knew this before the pandemic, right? But if we're going to do it, let's get serious about it.
Damn
just
right.
Like we're serious about literacy and math and all the other academic skills. Because if the kids can't control themselves, if they don't feel safe in a school, if they don't have the cooperative skills when they get in a cooperative group, then we're not going to get the academic outcomes. And we've got plenty of research that show correlationally that the schools that have the social skills programs, the kids are academically outperforming. And what's happening right now is sometimes, quite honestly, it's not a fair world. We've got the middle class and the more affluent and upscale school districts doing this, and some of them, most of them are doing it right, and we've got a lot of the inner city and the schools of poverty that are not doing it. So there's
I was just going to ask you that. Social-emotional learning, we have an umbrella called social-emotional learning, okay, and social skills. But
right.
Social skills, and you know where I'm going here, social skills different in an African-American community, if I may, than in a suburban white community, than in a Latino community. You can take that any way you want it to go. In a wealthy community.
Well, in a Native American community.
Yeah, thank you. And you just separate any group you want, okay? And, you know, when you talk about social-emotional learning, Howie, and, you know, I know what you do is excellent. I'm so glad you're always on with us all the time. Let's just use your program as an example. Okay, your 15-course thing. Again, everybody, projectachieve.info. All right? Go over there. Will it work the same, taking culture into effect in a urban school versus a rural school versus a whatever? We'll talk about the differences of SEL culturally, racially, however you want to break it down.
The answer is yes, it does work. And the reason that I know that is because I've been doing this for 40 years and we've got the data. Okay, so our social skill program and Project Achieve as a school improvement program, which has an SEL component, has a multi-tiered component, we've been evidence-based since 2000 by Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So basically, they didn't just give us an award. They looked at the data of us implementing in urban, rural, suburban schools, and the data said this is what works. This is an evidence-based blueprint science to practice.
Nice.
But here's the answer to your question, all right? I mean, I do training. I was there in the fall.
You
I do
well.
Training in New York City and in Cleveland and in Tampa, where I, you know, cut my teeth back in the days of my youth and so on, okay? So, I mean, I work inner city, but I work urban and rural. But here's the point. I work Native American. You've got to put the social skills and contextualize them to the setting and the kids that you're working with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Not that it's culture-free, okay? You've got to infuse the culture. I'll give you an example, all right? I was working in Etherty, Wyoming, many, many years ago, Native American.
And where?
Etherty, Wyoming.
Is that okay? A place? Is that a
yeah,
place?
Yeah, it's near Riverton, Wyoming, okay?
Okay.
So I'm working with a Shoshone and an Arapaho Native American community. And I'm doing a demonstration lesson about dealing with teasing with a fourth grade. And back to where we started earlier today, okay? And I said to the kids, I said, tell me the difference between a tease and a joke. And my Native American teachers in the back of the room who are observing are all nodding their heads no. And so I stopped and I paused and I said, what am I doing wrong? Okay, I'm not Native American, and every Native American community I've gone into, there are cultural differences, obviously, within different Native American and other communities.
Of course, good point.
Right? Well, what they said to me was they said, we do not use the word joke in our language. We use a good tease versus a bad tease.
Ah.
Okay?
Ah.
So something as... You know, I don't want to say it's simplistic. I mean, it's not. Something
well,
is nuanced.
Yeah.
Something as nuanced as that, I was not communicating and being an effective instructor for those kids. Okay. When I'm in the inner city, again, another example, I've got to talk to the kid, and we talk. It's not just about this, you know, Socratic kind of didactic, or you'll do it this way. I mean, I've got to know the kids. But again, I'm training the teachers. Hopefully the teachers know the kids. But we have to talk to the kids about, and this is not just inner city, but there's a difference between school expectations, home expectations, and street expectations. There's a difference between home behavior, street behavior, and school behavior.
That's
so in
sure.
The inner city... I learned years and years ago when I was working in Baltimore City Schools for 5 years, we learned that when we talk to the kids and teach them about how to walk away from a fight, you don't walk away from the fight in the inner city. You back away. Okay?
Well,
so we have to teach the kids, again, the nuances, the setting-specific nuances, so that they will be safe but also successful. So you've got to infuse the culture. And it's the kids and the staff that do the infusion to the largest degree. Because when you're setting up a role play in a social skill lesson, you want the role play to be as meaningful as possible. So that's why about 90% of the role plays, you're choosing the role play based on the discussion of the kids who are talking to you about the importance of the skill. And again, no disrespect, but we've got these package programs that are scripting the teachers, and most of the time, if not half of the time, the content and the role plays, if they even have role plays, are totally irrelevant to the kids. Let the kids'
yes.
discussion choose which role play. All right, so tell me why you're getting angry. All right, let's role play that situation. Rather than me come in with some kind of an anger role play that basically the kid is just play acting, is not internalizing.
I mean, you did one right, Howie. It's so important to understand that it's called culturally relevant education. You know that, for goodness sake.
Right.
Culturally relevant teaching. And it's culturally relevant, if I may use that term, SEL. I mean, it's the same thing. Howie, do you think that the colleges are picking up on this, that they're actually training teachers to deal with SEL?
They're talking to kids about SEL, okay? I mean,
they're talking
my
to
impression.
What kids? What kids?
They're talking to their students. They're talking to the educational trainees, you know, the people that are in their College of Education courses. So, I mean, the ones that are training, the educators are talking about it. I'm not sure that they're training them, okay?
Yeah.
But you know, but in other majors and so on, yeah. I mean, as an example, all right, my youngest son, he's out in the field now, obviously, he's older, okay, but he got his doctoral degree in biomedical engineering. One of the things, even as an undergraduate, you know, undergraduate engineering, they put the students into work groups from freshman year on. But what they do, most of the engineering programs, because they're depending on group efficacy, they are evaluating the student groups in the student training, in the bachelor level training, and then beyond up to the doctoral level. They're evaluating those students, not just in the academic product, but in the group process. And so they're mm-hmm. having to teach the mm-hmm. group process. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you can't, if you've got a bunch of engineering people around out in the field, and they are looking at the physics of a bridge, okay, and one person knows that the group is, you know, they've basically built a flaw into the bridge design. If they can't verbalize that, if they can't communicate, if people can't listen to them and sometimes get off their ego horses yep. and look at yep. this, then what do we end up with? We end up 15, 20 years later with a bridge that's now caved into the river and we've lost people's yep. lives. So people need to have the skills of being able to
they
dissent
do.
And also be able to consider somebody's dissension. That's a social skill. And there are lots of university programs that know that they're dependent on the group process in order to get the academic outcomes out there.
Exactly. And what I'm concerned is that the teacher education colleges are not including enough, quote, how to teach SEL, okay, into their
yep.
programs for future teachers. And,
yep.
and I always say that that's why what you do is so important for schools. We throw this at teachers, one more thing in their plate, if I might add, okay? And they need a lot of help with this, just like they needed a lot of help with how to teach their regular subject, okay? And if we get this right, and this is so key, life's going to be so much easier for educators. It's going to
right.
be so much easier, all right? And we have to make it happen, you know? We got to leave
right.
in a couple of minutes, Howie. Last thoughts.
Right.
Go ahead.
But let me take that last comment, okay?
We've known, and
we've got national professional education groups who have surveyed this for the past 25 or 30 years. We know that our – and I'm not blaming the teacher training programs, but they've got to look at themselves and look at the outcomes that their students need to have
yeah,
when they
exactly.
walk into the field.
Exactly.
We know the vast majority of general and special education teacher training programs are still not teaching the teachers at a functional skill level how
Thank
to do
you.
Classroom management. How to do
why.
Classroom management.
I can't figure it out. I had no courses
right.
in it when I was in teachers' college.
Well, exactly.
No one,
so
maybe,
if we're still
one,
not doing
I
it,
remember.
If we're not doing it in classroom management, then why would we think that we're necessarily doing it in SEL the right way?
It's yeah. unbelievable. And if you if a teachers' college can do that and do a good job on teaching future teachers how to teach SEL, their candidates become very important and very valuable to future school districts.
Right.
Okay. It's that
and
simple.
then maybe their candidates are more successful, and then we don't lose as many teachers within the first
that's
5 years
hole.
Of them going out into the field.
And actually, that's a great point because this whole thing is related to that. They get so frustrated. They want to teach math. They want to teach history, whatever the case may be, and they wind up having trials and tribulations with classroom management, which again breaks down to SEL. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Howie,
right.
Project, everybody, projectachieve.info, okay, Howie's right there, and working with Howie is a dream come true, okay? I remember talking to somebody, Howie, in the state of Arkansas, that's where you live, and I
mm-hmm.
asked him if they knew you, and my favorite line was, everybody knows Howie. Everybody knows Howie, okay? And they do. You've been all over the place, man. You do a good job. Thanks, Howie. This is great.
All right.
As always. Okay? Be good, buddy. Take care.
Winter right.
spring
Take
is
care,
almost
Larry.
Here. Okay? You
yep.
too. Bye-bye.
All right, be well. All right,
you
bye.
Too. Bye. Dr. Howie Knopf, KNOFF. Okay. Always do that for damn. I can't believe it. All right. Projectachieve.info. Check it all out. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Also at SELtoday.org, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.